Father, we thank you, God, that we can boldly enter your presence, God. We thank you that you are here with us, God, and that we can even tangibly experience your love and your grace and your peace now here with us, God. And we honor you, Lord. We thank you for that, God. We thank you for the blood of Christ that has made this possible for us, Lord. And this morning as we draw near to you, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is alive, God. And we thank you, Lord, that as you breathe your word on us this morning, Lord, that you breathe life on every one of us in the name of Jesus. We thank you for incorruptible seed to be planted in our hearts this morning, that our hearts would be good ground, Lord, and that your seed will take root and bear fruit, Lord, in our lives and through our lives, that will bring glory to your name, God, in Jesus' name. We commit this time to you, Lord. Have your way amongst us. Let your kingdom come in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As I was saying, it was such a blessing to have Foster Chris here last week. And I think, did he mention that his wife passed away? He did mention it. His wife passed away, must be about 3 or 4 weeks now ago. And sure, I didn't know, which is the it's a bit of a shock. But it's really humbling, you know, when you speak to a guy like that who's basically been in the ministry for 60 years. Who's been faithful, who's got such a lot of fruit in his life. If you look at his family, his children, and his children's children. And I think they even have great grandchildren. What a blessing just to see the faithfulness of God and to kind of recognize that this man has been around for many years and we can listen when he speaks. So it's been such a blessing, and specifically under the circumstances, you know, that he still came and he did what he felt God was saying, and he was obedient to what God was saying, even though he's wrestling through this major change in his life, having been married for 54 years odd, something like that. You know, he's working through that, but still just being so consistent and so steadfast in what God had called him to do. Such an inspiration. And so I really hope you guys enjoyed that. Those that were around for the service, we had him at a leaders meeting on the Thursday, which was also a massive blessing. But I was reminded just of some of it I'm going to share with this morning because of what he'd been going through, what he'd been sharing. And I'm just so glad the Lord confirmed it through the words that were shared this morning. And I'm going to just look at a few things around us experiencing storms in our lives and what that looks like, and just a few points that God laid on my heart around that. Let's read together. Let's just see if we can get this bigger. Let's read together from John chapter 16. Now, this is one of the promises that God gives in the Bible. It's not one that we like to remind ourselves of. Verse 33, Jesus says, "These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Now, as I said, this is a promise that we don't remind God of in terms of wanting tribulation, but unfortunately this is a given, right? We cannot avoid the fact that storms will come. We cannot avoid the fact that tribulations will come. Some of us here have already testified and have experienced some measure of tribulation and storms in our lives. Many of us, I believe most of us have. And so this is all given. So it's important for us to know God not only when it's great, and everything is hunky-dory, and you know, it's the sun is shining, and the birds are singing, and it's amazing, everything is amazing. But, you know, it's almost easy to praise God then. But what happens when the wheels come off? What happens when the storm gets hectic around us? It's important for us to know God the God that is there in the storm with us, in to know him in that way. Let's look at Isaiah 43 to a promise here that this is, I don't know, I often say one of my favorite scriptures. There are many. Isaiah 43. But now thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burnt, nor shall the flame scorch you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Such a powerful promise. Now, this was written hundreds of years before Christ, okay? But still refers very powerfully also to the Lord our Savior, Jesus our Savior, and God our Savior. So, a few things here. Firstly, fear not. I've called you by name. In other words, I know you personally. I know you intimately. I know, you know, often we sit in a situation where it's a storm and we get the suspicion that nobody's ever been in this situation before. And no person, no human being can really know what I'm going through now. And that may be true. But God says, I know you. I've called you by name. I know you. I know what's going on. I know what's going on in your heart. I know what you're wrestling through. I have intimate knowledge of what you're experiencing now. And the powerful thing about the life of Christ is that not only did he face every possible temptation, you know, he was tempted in every way. He is the one that can very powerfully identify and empathize with whatever we're going through. Not only to a point that he was tempted in similar ways and has gone through similar things, but he actually took that stuff upon himself, took our burdens, took our pain, took our sin upon himself when he died on the cross. So there's, if you know, when we're in this situation, know that he knows you. He knows the number of hair on your head. In my case, that number changes every day, especially here on the top. So he even knows that, you know. he knows us. He knows the intricate detail of the storm that you are going through. And then he speaks a word of comfort and he says, you are mine. I was listening to the radio this weekend, and they were chatting about, I can't remember what, but they want a part, basically the start of the conversation was about a statistic that had just been released by the National Office of Statistics or something like that, that it was found that out of quite a few couples, this is not like a 10... You know, sometimes you get these statistics and you realize, oh, they actually spoke to 5 people and 2 of them were for it and now they say, you know, 40%. It's, anyway, so I actually spoke to, I think it was hundreds of thousands. So it was a big sample, okay? And they found that being married makes you happier. Married people, let me just phrase this correctly, married people, marriage is one of the things that make people happy. Happier than people that are living together, but not married. Huh? So we all go say, duh, you know, I mean, that's what the word says, isn't it? But it was interesting, statistics are found, not saying that you can't be happy if you're not married, I'm saying that compared to people that are not married, but living together, cohabitating, married people are happier. Interesting. but one of the comments the guy said is that the guy asked why should this be? And one of the guys said, because we want to belong. You know, we want to belong to, if we have a desire and a need to belong. It's one of the guys that called in. And how powerful is this, that the King of the Universe, the creator of everything says, you're mine. He's possessive about you and me. And another part, he says, I've bought you with a price. So not only says he's you mine, he also says, I've bought you. I've paid something for you. I've paid the highest price for you. And he's saying, I'm holding you close, you're mine. And then he comforts us with those powerful words. When you pass through the waters, when you the rivers will not overflow you, when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burnt. Now, let me just point out here that he doesn't say, I will extinguish the fire. But he says, we will, when you walk through the fire, so there will be some fire. And it seems like we walk through it. But he says, you shall not be burnt, nor shall the fire scorch you. I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. And I want to just look at two portions now where people in Scripture that had access to this Scripture, right? People that have probably read this were in a situation that was quite hectic, and let's see how it pans out. Let's look at Daniel, okay, very, very well known. But let's quickly read this. This is quite a piece. I picked out a few bits, but you know the story. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. If anybody knows the original names, I'll be very impressed. I can't ever remember them. But they were Daniel's compatriots. They were with him at that stage. And this king, Nebuchadnezzar, he made this new law that when a music play and a certain thing happened, that it would be the signal for everybody to bow down and worship him and worship whatever he tells them to worship, and this image that he's put up, and obviously these guys say there's no way it's going to happen. But let's just quickly read a few bits here of what happens in the situation, verse 16 to 18, and then I'll add some more after this. Okay, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. No discussion. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. They basically said, if you don't do it, you're going to be chucked in the furnace, okay? If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. And let's just pause there. This is so powerful for me, because they say, there's no way we're going to do this. I'm sorry, no discussion. If we need to go into the fire, that's okay. But he says, our God is able to deliver us. So they're not confused. They're confident God is able. Maybe they've read the scripture, because Daniel actually writes down that he reads Isaiah, and then he responds to what the prophecy in Isaiah says. So chances are they actually read the scripture we just read in Isaiah, okay? Now, and they say, our God is able to deliver us. But then they say, but even if he chooses not to, even if God doesn't deliver us, even if we burn, that won't change anything. Even if for some reason God chooses not to deliver us, that will not make any difference. Are you with me? So they kind of reckon, okay, either way, we're not bowing down. God is able to. He may not choose. He might have another plan. Either way, we will not bow down, and we will still worship only one God, only one king. Let's go on. 21. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So the guys that threw them in were killed. So this is not your average barbecue fire, okay? And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, "Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?" They answered and said to the king, "True, O king." "Look," he answered, "I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And in the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." And the satraps, administrators, governors, and the king's counselors gathered together, and they saw these men, on whose bodies the fire had no power. The hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected, and the smell of fire was not on them. That's after they were taken out, in verse 27. So they saw that there was zero evidence that they'd even been near a fire. The smell of fire was not on them. And now, when I read this, I'm always reminded of the time when we cycled on our prayer intercession trip and we cycled through some bushfires in the Eastern Cape. And we cycled through, there were quite hectic fires on both sides of the road. And just quite a lot of smoke. If you know bushfire, it's quite bad. The smoke burns your lungs, it gets into your clothes, it's quite hectic. At one stage, there were some firemen along the road that were obviously kind of trying to control it, or they couldn't do much, but they were just kind of there. And I remember getting some odd looks because we were just cycling straight. And we didn't really realize what was happening, but we cycled through this for about 16 kilometers, and then a bit further on, we stopped for lunch. And as we stopped, our support vehicle came up, and they were very excited, and they were like, and we were like, "What's going on?" And they were like, "No, didn't you see what was happening?" And we didn't see anything. We were just kind of trying to focus, cycling. And they saw, because they were driving behind us, they could see that we were cycling, there was no smoke. There was like a tunnel around us. But obviously we were in it, so we couldn't see it. But where they were, they could see that around us there was no smoke. So, I'm practically minded. So I take a sniff of my clothes. And for the first time I realized I couldn't smell a thing. And for the first time I realized I didn't taste it. I didn't smell it. For 16 kilometers, we cycled through there. And I didn't even feel it on my chest once. So there was a bit of a moment. But I'm always reminded of this when I read this. Because God was right there with us. It wasn't like it was life-threatening or anything. But we were just doing what God had called us to do. And these guys, similarly, were not wavering from what they knew to be right and true. Is that they will not bow before anybody else but the living God. And I always try and put myself in the shoes of these guys and think, okay, you're in this situation. They're going to burn you right now. It's tickets, is it going to be a tsunami kind of wave that's going to come and kill the fire? Is it going to be like this weird, just lots of water from heaven? Or is it, what's going to happen? How is God going to extinguish the fire? Or, is he going to send his angels to eject us or something, whatever? And it must have gotten quite hectic because, by the time you're at the fire and the guy that's throwing you in has died, no, it's not going to happen like that. We're going in here now. And so powerful, but again, referring back to Isaiah when he says, when you go through it. So yes, there will be fire, and yes, there will be discomfort, and yes, they were bound, and they were obviously accused, and it was a big thing, bit of a trial, not long trial, but, it was a hectic situation. And often the deliverance of God is like this. I don't know about you, but I imagine, how's God going to get us out of this one? Whatever situation it is, whether it's a family situation or financial challenge or whatever it is, I try and imagine, what is God going to do? And inevitably, whatever I imagine doesn't happen. Okay, so maybe it's just me. But in the deliverance of God, I would say mostly comes in a way that we didn't expect. Mostly it feels like it's late. And Pastor Chris mentioned this last week at the leaders' meeting. He said he's been living by faith for many years, trusting God as he goes, and it feels like God is always on 99. He's like, it's just last minute. And still, but the thing is, he says, God is always there. So although it feels like he's late, although it feels like it's 99, he's always in time. He's always faithful. His timing is always good. And in this case, the deliverance maybe didn't come as they expected or as they hoped. But even more powerfully, God was right there in the midst of this hectic thing. He was right there with them. And not only were they delivered, and they obviously kind of came out without a scratch, but you know, it was a testimony to everybody around. And I mean, the guys literally acknowledged God as the only king and the only God. Powerful thing that happened right there. So firstly, the deliverance doesn't come as we think. Okay? And it doesn't come in the time that we hope for. But it comes. And it always comes. Amen. Now, the second part of the fire bit, and the part where we go through the fire, I believe God allows these things to come across our paths. Let's quickly look at the next scripture from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So it speaks here of trials, and it speaks of a testing of our faith, a testing of who we are, of our faith. And I believe, and I've seen that often, along with these hectic times that we go through, although it's not like God initiates it, he allows things like that. He's with us in it, in the midst of it, in the middle of it, never leaves us, never forsakes us. But in that process, there's a refining that happens. And I've experienced this in many different ways, but one of them is like, when I'm scheming and I'm trying to think, okay, how's God going to help me with this? Or how's he going to deliver me? Or how's he going to provide? And I try to help God. I don't know if you do that, assisting the Lord. Some people do that by getting another credit card. Yeah. Do you know what, God? Let me just give you a hand on this one. there's no interest for a whole 18 months. Any case, you know, we try to kind of help God to figure out how he should help us, how he should deliver us. And what happens in my case often is that those bits that I lean on, those things that I have in my life that I lean on instead of leaning on God, kind of get burnt in the fire. They can't stand the heat. And that's the amazing thing, is that there's a testing that happens and there's a purification that happens when we're in it. And what I want to encourage you guys, there's a choice that we make in a situation like this, in a testing situation, in a fiery situation. And I've found when I'm not choosing to see what God is doing and kind of focusing on him in it, I can actually go through a hectic time and it cannot actually serve the purpose of God. Because I'm working against God. I'm not yielding to what he's doing. And then the chances are I'm going to find myself in a similar situation again. Are you with me? So in every tough thing we go through, there's an opportunity for us to say, "Oh Lord, you know, please show me what it is that what your provision is for me in this situation, and what it is that I must deal with in the situation." Amen. And then say, okay, God, yes, it's going to be painful, but thank you that you're here with me in it. And I know we're not camping here, we're going through it. Amen. psalmist says, when I go through the valley of the shadow of death, not camping there. Foster Fred always says, when you go through hell, don't stop. Right? We use that figure of sheep. I'm going through hell at the moment. And they said, just don't stop there. Okay? Just push on. So God is with us and he takes us through it. And we have a choice to make in it. Am I going to throw my toys out of the cart? Or am I going to actually work with what God is doing? I always thought that was just a figure of speech. But no, they do that. Hey, did you see? They just chuck all the toys. It's amazing. Now we've moved from the cot now. We're on a little bed now. It's changed the game a little bit. But it makes it interesting. Amen. Okay. Yeah, let's look at this. But yeah, it's also from Daniel's life. And I want to just touch on something that happens when we are in a hectic time. All right, so we have a choice to make. Choosing to work with what God is doing. And on the other hand, and that's something that I experience, is either I get afraid. Oh my goodness, this is not good, looking good. The wheels are coming off, getting panicky. Or, you know, along with that, we go into scheme or control mode and, well, let's just fix this. Let's just sort it out. No, don't worry. I know this guy and he knows a guy and he can help, you know, and we're trying to figure it out. And often we're quite qualified. I mean, we're good at stuff. A lot of, maybe it's just the men. We're good at problem solving. So let's just fix it, you know. But that often doesn't really help. Let's quickly read from Daniel 10. This is he's speaking to an angel, all right? It's 18, 19. Then again, the one having the likeness of a man touched me and strengthened me, and he said, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be to you. Be strong. Yes, be strong. So when he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. And this is a situation where he was fasting and there was nothing happening. Then the angel came in response to his prayer and his fast and spoke to him and responded to him, to his prayer. But I want to just point out something. He said, let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. And in that situation, often when we're in a hectic place, in a storm, like the word that David wrote, you know, we're looking at the waves and we're thinking, my goodness, I haven't seen a wave like this before. This can crush you one shot, you know. We're looking at the circumstance. We're looking at the problem. We're looking at the fire. You're thinking, oh my goodness, this guy just died. This is serious. And often that's where fear comes in, right? I mean, we're human. It happens. We see in the life of Paul, God telling him, do not be afraid. You know, actually, he was afraid. You know, this is a real thing we face. We get panicky. Some of us go into, like I said, scheme mode or control mode. We try to fix it. And what happens, I found, is we struggle to hear God. Because fear acts against faith. Fear is kind of the opposite of faith. So when I'm afraid, I cannot hear God. Because hearing God requires faith, right? And when I'm afraid, or when I'm scheming, or when I'm doing stuff and I'm panicking, I'm struggling to hear God. I'm struggling to hear what he's saying to me about the situation. I'm struggling to hear what his purpose is for the situation. I'm struggling to hear what his provision is for the situation. And it, you know, it can kind of snowball. So look at how powerful this is. He's strengthened. He realizes, okay, God is here with me. He's very afraid because of this angel that comes to him. Okay, and this. But then he is strengthened, and then he says, okay, now I've been strengthened, so now I can speak, because now I've overcome this fear. Are you with me? And when we're in it, I want to say this knowledge of God never forsaking us, being with us. Here is the fourth guy in the fire, the fourth man, God himself, the presence of God, the provision of God, the peace of God with us. In whatever situation we find ourselves. And from that knowledge, we can get rid of every fear. That confidence, that peace, we can get rid of every fear and every panic, everything that would have us struggle to hear him. Are you with me? So I want to encourage you guys to be aware and to that's something you know kind of actively do and realize, okay, well I'm acting in fear now. Let's just stop the boat, stop the bus, get rid of the fear so that I can actually operate in faith. Yes. Amen. Okay. Why do we need to hear him? Because of what I said just now. What is his purpose for it? What is his purpose for the season? What is his purpose for you in that situation? And I just felt specifically to mention again, I don't know, maybe it's for one person or more, that God has perfectly positioned you where you are now. Okay? And not only are you positioned to become more like Christ, because that's your purpose where you are now, okay? You're not taking a break from becoming like Jesus. Often it's the difficult season that we're going through. We're thinking, let me just get through this and then I'll carry on with this becoming like Jesus thing. But I can't now. This is too hectic. God is saying, no. That's why you're there. In your job, in your family, in your situation, so that you can become like Christ. And he's perfectly positioned you also in his purpose. And the Lord showed me or reminded me, I studied a bit of engineering. Not enough, apparently, but just half. And one of the stuff, even as mechanical and aeronautical engineers, they had us do circuit boards. And now the stuff we did is like is very simple, but still quite interesting. And the Lord just showed me a picture of a kind of a modern-day circuit board. They make them very small these days. Let me show you one. How's that? Okay, that's a computer. Can you see it's on a penny? All right. So that's not, it's not very clear. Sure, this light always gets me. Can you see it? So this is a one penny, and there is a circuit board on there. It's actually a computer, and it's got little bits on it. I've tried to find a zoom in, but couldn't. So there's a lot of stuff in there. Actually, this thing measures something. They put it into people's eyes to measure something when the people have a specific condition in their eye, in any case. But Lord just reminded me, you know, even like every one of those little bits, there are like hundreds of components on that circuit board. Right? We can't see them now, but they're there. They do different jobs. And you and I are like every one of those components. And in this case, I wanted to say a millimeter, but in this case, like hundredth of a millimeter to the one side, not going to work. If you just move one of those components, I don't even know how they put these things together, but while you're putting it together, if one thing just moves like a millimeter or a fraction of a millimeter, it's going to touch something else, it's going to be in a wrong position, and the whole thing will not work. Are you with me? I just felt God giving me this picture, saying this is how perfectly you are positioned. 1 millimeter to the left or to the right was not going to work. But where God has put you in your family situation, in your work situation, in your whatever situation, in your community, in the house that you're living in or the house that you're moving to, you are perfectly positioned in the class that you are in, if you're studying or whatever you're doing, perfectly positioned to become like Christ, but also to walk in his perfect purpose right there, to be his redemptive gift in that situation. Okay, I'm not going to go into much on that. I just felt that's for somebody. God is not confused. He knows where he's put you. He's positioned you perfectly. Hear him so that you can know what it's about, what the season is about, and why you're there. Amen? Okay. Let's continue. Okay. In the same way, I was also reminded just of, you know, it's often we go through hectic things, and I don't know about you, I always think, you know, Lord, can you just kind of ease up a bit? Can you just kind of, you know, give me a timeout, give me a break. And then another thing that I'm reminded of from my engineering days is we used to do these cool experiments in the lab. But for males, cool. We broke stuff. So we had, say, pieces of metal or cables, and you had these cool machines, and you attach them, and then they break the stuff. And they measure to see how much can this thing take, and then it breaks. Obviously, we were more excited about the breaking bit and kind of seeing how much damage we can do. But very cool equipment. And that, you know, in manufacturing and most, you know, construction type of scenarios, the stuff, the materials you buy, or the cable you're going to use, or the steel that you're going to use, has got a specific set of properties. And, you know, it's on the cable, for instance, will tell you this is how much this cable can take safely. If you overload it, then, you know, no responsibility to the manufacturer, but this is what it's designed to do. And when I moan like that often to God, God tells me, I know exactly what you can handle. I've made you. I've manufactured you. I've put you together. I know what you're able to bear. Obviously not in your own strength, but in the power of the Spirit of God that is in you, I know what you're able to bear. And I just want to encourage us. This is not to say just, you know, bite on your teeth and stick it out. This is to say, tap into that source. That is the Spirit of God in us, the power of God made perfect in our weakness, that will enable us to bear what God has designed us to bear. Amen? Even though it's hectic, even though it's a tough situation. Let's continue. Coming back to the storm. Now, earlier in the Gospels, we see Jesus calming the storm. Very well-known piece. He's asleep in the boat. It's going crazy out there. The disciples think, what is this guy doing? You know, we're basically dying here, and he's sleeping. Sleep on the job. And they're waking up, and then he speaks to the storm, and he calms the storm. But this is a different place. And I just want to quickly read this and look at one or two bits as we close. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now, the disciples in the boat. Now, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And we know he took his eyes off Christ. He looked at the wind, he looked at the waves, and he started sinking. And then he says, help, and Jesus helps him. But I believe they walked back together on the water to the boat. And then the wind dies down, and the storm kind of subsides a bit. But here we see, I just want to pick out one or two things here. Often when we're in a storm, we cry out to God to speak peace, okay, to calm the storm. And often that happens. And often God wants to teach us to look at our situation and to speak peace over it, to take that authority and to declare the peace of God. And that doesn't always mean the storm will immediately stop, but that will mean we will have the peace of God, even in the storm. Okay? Are you with me? But I just felt there's another thing that God wants to show us here this morning, is that God doesn't only want us to survive the storm. He wants us to overcome, to walk on the water. So even when it's going hectic, even when it's like crazy and you just want to cling onto your life jacket and your boat, you want to strap yourself in, I feel God is saying, that's good. I want you to have my peace there, but even one step further, I want you to take the storm on and overcome it. I want you to walk on the water. And that's not something that we think is interesting or great. I mean, Peter, he was a fisherman, right? So even this stormy situation, you must have had some like that before. And he was just, they were just kind of probably just riding it out. They knew, okay, this is going to be okay type of thing. Although they were a bit afraid. But now God calls him to that extra place where he's completely out of his comfort zone, completely out of what he knows, and he steps out of the boat. And I just felt, some of us here this morning, when last did you hear the voice of God in the place that you know? Like Peter, he knew the boat, he knew the sea, he knew the water, he knew the weather and stuff. When last did you hear the voice of God in your workplace? When last did God, when did you obey God to get out of the place that you know, to get out of the place that you are familiar with? Maybe you're trusting God in it. Yes, maybe you're kind of trusting, yes, I'm fishing and I'm trusting God for a good catch and I'm trusting God to connect with my fellow fishermen and to preach the gospel. But when last did you really seek the face of God to a place of overcoming? To a place where God says, okay, now you've mastered, you've gotten the hang of the boat bit, let's go now. We're going to walk on water now. This is a different dynamic. This doesn't make any more sense anymore. The people will think I'm a bit weird. Colleagues are not going to agree with me. This direction that you're taking now, that's a bit dodgy. But when last did we hear the voice of God, actually seek to hear the voice of God in the place that we are experts, the place that we know, and the place that we are comfortable, to a place that he calls us to. Again, in his purpose, in his will, in his kingdom coming in and through our lives. And yeah, praise God for that word that Debbie brought. That I just, yeah, I also feel, even in the storm, God wants us to get out of the boat and to go to him, to see him, to look, to keep our eyes on him, to hear his voice, to respond to his call, and to go where we haven't gone before. Amen. I mean, as we close, I just want us to listen to a song. It's not very long. It's quite apt, so if you need to, it's not going to be on there. In fact, let me try and, can you mute the screen? Thank you. Then, I just, yeah, if you need to close your eyes to hear properly, it's not crazy long, but then we just listen to it, and then we'll close. Amen. We stand, please. So Father, we thank you, Lord, just for this powerful reminder, Lord, and a conviction and a confidence that we have this morning, Lord, that your promise toward us, God, has not changed, Lord. Even though thousands of years ago you spoke through the prophet Isaiah, you said, "You are mine. I've called you by name, you are mine. I'm with you." Lord, your promise to that you are with us through the storms, Lord, that even though we go through the hectic situations and overwhelming odds and overwhelming things coming against us, God, thank you that you promise that we will not be engulfed, Lord. We will not be overthrown. We will not be burnt, Lord. God, we thank you, Lord, even that we can see this in our own lives, Lord. We can see it in Scripture, God. We can recognize, Lord, yes, indeed, Lord, you are faithful. And, Lord, even when it sometimes feels like it's late, Lord, your provision or your deliverance, we thank you, God, that you will never leave us, Lord. You never forsake us. I thank you, Lord, this morning, Lord, for I just speak this word over every heart. I'm with you, my son, my daughter, I'm with you. Your life is in my hand. Even when the wheels are coming off, even when things are going rough, I'm with you. I've not left you. I've not forsaken you. We thank you this morning, Lord, for a grace, God, to even when we have so much reason to be afraid, Lord, so overwhelming things, circumstances coming against us, God. Thank you, Lord, that you give us grace, God, to look to you, God, to receive your perfect love that casts out every fear. God, that we can respond to your promise and say, yes, this is your word for me, Lord, and I believe that you are with me now. And I believe that you have made provision for me here and now. And I believe, Lord, that you have not only called me to survive the storm, Lord, but to overcome, to be victorious in it, to have your glory manifested in it, to have the glory of God just cover this situation. So that even in my pain and even in my discomfort and even in this difficult time, Lord, that you be glorified. Let your kingdom come in my life, Lord. That your will and your purpose come to pass in this season, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord. Thank you for the grace, the abundance of grace that is available to each of us here this morning, God. God, and we repent of trying to scheme often and trying to work things out, trying to solve it, trying to fix it. And this morning we yield to you and say, Lord, let your way, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done, God. We just yield control again to you. Say, God, we don't know. We don't know what to do. We don't know. This area where we get out of the boat, this is where things get completely out of our comfort zone. We don't know. We don't know how to operate here, Lord. We don't know how to walk on water. We don't know how it works. We haven't done it before, God. But this morning we declare we know you are faithful. We know when you call us to come, we can come boldly. When we call us to step out, we can step out. When you call us to run, we can run, Lord. With confidence, God. With boldness. With no fear, God. In Jesus' name. I thank you, God. I just thank you, Lord, for your confirmation for many of us that you've placed us where we are. You've placed us in the family that we are in. You've placed us in the extended family we are in. You've placed us in the friendship group, in the community that we are. Thank you, Lord, that you've put things, people around us for a specific purpose, God. And I thank you, Lord, this morning. I just feel that you want to give us an urgency, God, to not just tick over and just survive, but to overcome and to walk in your purpose for us, to seek your face and to hear your voice about why am I here in this place, to become like Christ, yes, but beyond that, Lord, to impact lives and to see your kingdom come in the lives around me and to see people saved, to see people delivered, to see people come to Christ and to see people discipled, God. We thank you, Lord, for the urgency, Lord, for us to reach out to those that you have placed around us so specifically, that you have perfectly positioned every one of us, God. I thank you, God. I just thank you for us. I just feel, God, there's a special grace this morning for us to shake off blindfolds that have been blinding us to, from seeing the situation that we're in, from noticing what's going on. I just sense some that of us that are so caught up. We're so caught up in what we're doing. We're so caught up in the stuff in the boat and busy with what has to happen in the boat that we're not hearing Christ calling us out. He's calling us to a new place of trust. He's calling us to a new place of boldness. He's calling us to this place where we cannot rely on ourselves anymore. But we need to stop for a moment and listen and hear Him and respond in faith. And just while every eye is closed, if that is you this morning, if you need to just bring your heart before God and say, Lord, I need to stop. I need to pause. I need to get to that place that Louise spoke about. I just need to touch you. But I'm just keeping myself busy with stuff. If that's you, just bring your heart before God now. Just speak to Him and just get that off your heart and say, Lord, I want to just touch you. I just want to speak with you. I just want to hear you again. I want to meet with you. If there's a specific thing that is kind of becoming an idol in your life, is keeping you busy or you consuming you, just bring it before Him now. Just repent. Lay it down at the cross. As Father, as every eye is closed this morning, if the first step for us experiencing the peace of God in every storm, the first level, the first place where we get to know His peace is a place where we step into a relationship with Him through the blood of His Son. And if you're standing here this morning and you might have heard of Christ, you might have heard of the cross, you might have heard of His sacrifice, but you know where you're now, when you're standing now, you do not have a real relationship with the living God. You are talking about hearing His voice and you say, what is that about? How does that work? You don't know what it is to hear His voice. Then this morning there's an opportunity for you to step into a relationship with God that is real, that is alive. He's a living God and He reigns right now. He's alive right now and He desires to have a relationship with you. And if you don't have that this morning, if you're not confident in that, you're not sure, maybe I have, maybe I don't, maybe I've got eternal life, maybe I don't. This morning there's an opportunity for you to embrace life in abundance, to say, yes, God, I receive the gift that you have for me. I receive the gift of salvation. I receive the fact that Christ died so that I can know you. If that's you this morning and you want to respond to that, you want to receive that gift of salvation, while every eye is closed, if you would just show me with your hand, if you just indicate to me if you want us to pray with you regarding that, I'd love to do so. While every eye is closed, is there anybody this morning? Okay. So Father, we thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness, Lord. We just, again, we commit our hearts to you, God. I pray for every person that is in a storm right now. I pray for every person that is going through a fire, in a fire. It's in it now, going through hell right now. Lord, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus. I speak peace into the storm. In Jesus' name, I speak peace, be still, into every heart, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, right now that the perfect love of God casts out every fear, in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, this morning we look to you, Lord. I thank you for the choice this morning to look to you instead of the waves, instead of the fire, instead of the flames, instead of the dead people next to us, to look to you to say, God, I trust you. I know you are faithful, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your peace right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you for a choice to look to you, a choice to trust you right now in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, right now. I just thank you that you lift burdens of fear. You lift burdens of anxiety. You lift burdens of panic now in the name of Jesus. And I thank you for peace to be restored in every heart in the name of Jesus. And I just think some of us will have to be that conduit of peace for some people around us that are panicking, that are stressing, that are at the wit's end. I just feel there's some of us here that are going to have to be intercede for them and be a conduit of that peace and speak peace into situations of people close to us. In Jesus' name, we thank you for that, God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your fruit, Lord, and this word in our lives, God. And I thank you, Lord, even this week, Lord, that you open our eyes to see how you've positioned us, Lord. That you open our eyes to see the people that you've put around us. I thank you for an urgency, Lord, to hear you, to stop and to hear you, God, in the name of Jesus. Amen.